Therefore, we do not lose heart even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Turning in your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to thank Hunter for reading that passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for us a moment ago. We're going to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 here in just a moment. We all know that there are some signs that we're getting older. Like you know, you're getting old when it takes twice as long to look half as good in the morning. Or you know you're getting old when you're sure that all of your secrets are safe with your friends because they can't remember them anyways. And probably you can't either. Or you know you're getting old when your joints seem to be more accurate than the meteorologist on TV. Or you know you're getting old when your arms are no longer long enough to read your hymnal. You know you're getting old when you think of hymns throughout the day. Oh, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I can't remember where I parked. Or one of my personal favorites, you know you're getting old when you start your day to the sound of snap, crackle, and pop, and you haven't even poured a bowl of Rice Krispies yet. We laugh or we grin, we chuckle at those things because we know that there's some truth in it, and because it's better than the alternative. It's better to laugh than it is to become depressed and discouraged. Aging is inevitable. Our bodies change. Our energy levels drop. We no longer feel like we once did in our youth. And if all we had to look forward to was the world's view of aging, it would be a pretty bleak picture. In fact, it's the very picture that's described in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12 paints old age in painfully honest terms. Now look with me, beginning in verse 1 there. Remember now your Creator. In the days of your youth, before the difficult or evil days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. You see, when we're young, we expect some difficult days. We expect there to be times when there are storms, but we also expect the sun to come back out after it has rained. But when we're old, it seems that one dark day after another comes. It seems like the dark days never end. You get over one health issue, one struggle, one difficulty, one loss, only to face another. Look with me at verse 3. In the days when the keepers of the house tremble, the arms and the hands begin to shake, and the strong men bow down, you can't stand upright like you once did anymore. When the grinders cease because they are few, fewer teeth and a loss of appetite, and those that look through the windows grow dim, cataracts and failing eyesight. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, the loss of hearing. And yet notice the irony, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, you wake up at the slightest noise in the morning, and all the daughters of music are brought low, but you can't even enjoy the music of the birds in the morning. Verse 5, also they are afraid of heights and of terrors in the way. Fears are rising. When the almond tree blossoms, the white hare, the grasshopper is a burden. Even the small things seem heavy and desire fails. The loss of drive, of motivation, of vitality. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. It's a picture of winding down, a picture of a body wearing out, a future shrinking with nothing to look ahead to, nothing to look forward to but the grave and for people to mourn you. That's what old age looks like without God. It's a slow fading process, a long decline, a diminishing of our strength, our purpose, and hope. But that's not the picture that Scripture gives for the people of God. Because when you turn from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 to Psalm 92, the contrast is very stunning. As we started to look at last week, the righteous, it says, shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and green. Not fading, not declining, not shrinking, but flourishing. Fresh, green, fruitful. You just hear the difference between those two ideas. The world says old age is the end of usefulness. God says it's a season of fruitfulness. The world says you're getting old, you're winding down. God says you're maturing, you're gearing up. The world says you have nothing left to offer. You have less to offer than you ever did. God says you have more to offer than ever before. And that's why our scripture reading today, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18, is the perfect transition into part two of what we're going to look at this morning. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day as we learn to walk by faith. Yes, the body weakens. We all know that. Yes, the outer man declines, but the inward man, the spiritual woman, the faithful older believer, they are being renewed, strengthened, deepened, ripened, prepared to bear fruit. And that's what we want to look at and to think about this morning, how God can use people in his body today, the fruit that they can bear. Because the same God who used Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, and all of the others that we talked about last week to accomplish great things in the latter days of their life still uses older men and women today. And that's what we want to look at. What does that fruit look like? First of all, there is the fruit of wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world. Not cleverness or intelligence or cunning or craftiness. It's not about getting the best for yourself, but it is the wisdom that comes from a healthy fear of the Lord, a proper reverence for him and for his ways. Job 12 and verse 12 says simply, wisdom is with aged men and with length of days, understanding. Now, certainly that's not true of all older people. Many older women and men are foolish in the way that they live their life. But that's an ideal picture of how it should be. That's the way it should be, especially among God's people. The longer we live, the greater our understanding should be. It's the way that it should be among those who think right along with God. Wisdom is the fruit of years spent walking with God, listening to his word, learning from his discipline, and trusting him to take us through those storms. The book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs show us why older believers often have this fruit. In essence, Ecclesiastes is a tour of all of the wrong paths of life, all of the roads that you could take in life that look promising at first, but ultimately end up in emptiness. Then on the other hand, the book of Proverbs is a map of the right paths, the way that life works when you do fear the Lord. That's how it begins. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, is the beginning of wisdom. And older Christians have lived long enough to see both of those books lived out in real life, at least parts of them. They've seen the emptiness of the wrong roads. Maybe they've taken some of them themselves. They've seen also, though, the blessings of the right ones. And even Psalm 92 doesn't just tell us that the older people, the righteous, shall bear fruit in old age. It tells us something of the kind of fruit that they bear, what it looks like. Notice verse 15, the very last verse of that passage, Psalm 92. Verse 14 says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Then verse 15 says, proclaiming or to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. This is the voice of someone who has walked with God, who has leaned on God, who has tested God's promises and found them to be true year after year, decade after decade. The Lord is upright. Older believers can say that because they have seen God act rightly time and time again. They've seen his faithfulness in the long arc of life, not just in the moment, not just in the days or the weeks that we think of. They've lived long enough to see how God works things out, how he works things together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. They've lived long enough to see how God keeps his promises. They've lived long enough to see how God never abandons his people, even though we feel like it in the moment. He is my rock. Older believers can say that because they've leaned on him in times of weakness, in times of fear, in times of loss, in times of uncertainty. They've leaned on him when their own strength failed. They've leaned on him when their bodies weakened and when their hearts were heavy. And they found him to be strong and steady. They found him to be a shelter in that time of storm. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Older believers can say that because they've lived long enough to see the difference between the world's promises and God's promises. They know that the world often disappoints. They've seen people in the world let them down. They've seen sin in the world destroy people's lives, but they've also seen that God is always good, always right, always just, and always faithful. Wisdom is the fruit of a lifetime spent trusting God. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18 gives us the heart of an older believer. In fact, it's David in this particular instance who says this, who has walked with God for decades. And he says in verses 17 and 18 there, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. This is the wisdom that says, I've seen God work. I've seen God provide. I've seen God carry me through. And I want this generation, I want everyone around me to know that he is faithful. I want them to know the God that I know. That brings us to the second fruit, the fruit of spiritual leadership. God designed his church so that some of the most important work is done by older believers. Older men and older women, each serving in the roles that God has designed and given for them. There's always a need for elders. God designed the local church to be overseen by a group of elders, of older men. That's what the very word means. Men that are more experienced, men that have lived longer, who have lived faithful Christian lives and who have been spiritual leaders within their own families, who are capable of teaching and leading and protecting the flock, whose very lives serve as examples to the rest of the flock to follow. In fact, they should be doing the very things that all of the flock should do. Those who lead by example, being the first to do the teaching, the giving, the serving, the evangelizing, the opening up of their homes, the strengthening of the weak, the caring for the hurting. They are the ones that set that example. There's always a need for men to serve in this way within the body of the Lord's church. And by very definition, they can only do so in the latter days of their life. Their greatest service comes at the end. And unless circumstances or things in life were to prevent it, physical or mental limitations, why would they not continue to do that? Why would they not continue to bear fruit in their old age to the very moment of their death? There's always a need for elders. And we men who are here in the congregation need to be preparing ourselves for that time. We think about preachers. Many of our young men, like myself, who wanted to preach, will go to a preaching school like Sunset or a college like Florida College to prepare for a few years to learn how to preach, to be mentored by older men in the faith, to learn to do the tasks that we need to do. But the question is, how are we preparing ourselves for that task of being an elder? What are we doing to learn to shepherd the flock, to learn to care for those that are hurting, to learn to bind up the wounded? The very elders that we one day choose need to be the very men who are doing that today, who have that example of doing those things day by day within the Lord's church. In a similar way, there's always a need for older women to do what Paul commanded in Titus chapter 2, to be teachers of good things, to train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to live lives that honor the word of God. God intends for older women to be the ones that are shaping and training and nurturing the godly women of the generation to come, to be the ones nurturing that next generation of godly children, especially within their young age. And just as our men need to be preparing themselves for that task, women need to be preparing themselves for the task of mentoring, the task of shaping those younger women, for the task of training our children, by becoming reverent in their way that they live, by learning the word of God so that they can pass it on faithfully to that next generation, by cultivating the kind of character that other women ought to imitate. And all of this, older men leading the Lord's body, older women teaching the younger women, is exactly what Scripture says should be happening within the family of God. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." That is spiritual leadership. Older believers passing on their faith, their wisdom, their experience, their devotion from one generation to the next. Spiritual leadership is the harvest of a lifetime of devotion lived out within the body. Another beautiful fruit that older believers bear is the fruit of service. Service is about the heart. Service is about love. Service is about seeing needs and meeting those needs with the compassion of Christ day by day. And older believers often serve in ways that younger believers simply cannot. Not because younger believers don't want to, but because older believers have the time, the resources, the stability, the compassion, and the spiritual maturity to meet those needs in ways that only years of faithful service can prepare you to do and can produce. And that service takes many forms. Maybe it's giving. Many older Christians today have planned well for their retirement. They're financially secure. Maybe they've started a business of their own. They've laid an inheritance for their children's children, as the Proverbs will talk about. They have the ability to give generously for benevolence and for the work of the kingdom. As Paul says in Romans 12, verse 8, if one's gift is giving, let him do so generously. Let him do so with liberality. Maybe that service is taking care of the needs of a brother or sister in Christ. Some provide meals for the sick, for the grieving, for those that are overwhelmed. Some drive older members to appointments. Some run errands for those that need them run, pick up their groceries. Some check on those who live alone, who are confined to their homes or to the nursing homes, to the hospitals. Those acts may be things that we think of as small, but they're not small to those people. And they're not small in the eyes of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us that as we have opportunity, we are to do good to all people, especially those that belong to the household of faith. It's part of showing the love of Christ. It's part of having that love for your neighbor. It's part of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And many older believers have both the availability and the willingness to meet many of those needs that many younger Christians don't have because of their busy schedules at work or because of the needs of their own families and children. Maybe that fruitful service that one can bear in old age is bearing one another's burdens. As is talked about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Older believers often carry burdens that the younger ones, the younger people, don't even see. They know what it feels like to lose a spouse, to face a diagnosis, to walk through grief, to endure loneliness, and to struggle with temptation many times throughout their life. And because they know, they often are the first ones to come alongside others who are hurting. They happen to be, in many cases, the ones that will sit down, the ones that will pray, the ones that will listen, the ones that will comfort, the ones that will understand and do what they can to help. Maybe that fruitful service is showing hospitality, opening up one's home for a midweek Bible study, or providing a place for a visiting preacher or a Christian to stay, or sharing a meal after the afternoon sermon. Now, the first few years that we were in Texas, when I was going around to many congregations throughout the area, preaching in various places, Brio and I were often invited into someone's house in the afternoon for a meal. And more often than not, it was a couple that was an older couple whose children had already left the home. I don't know that there was any rule about that. It just seemed that that was typically the case. Many older Christians have their own homes. They have their own vacant bedrooms. They have empty seats around the dining table. And many of them are very welcoming of others to join them. I remember Glendon and Edith many times when we first came here to Waynesville, taking us out to eat in the afternoons, or inviting us over to their house to spend the time after we preached. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, reminds us that we are to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And many older believers excel at that. Maybe they just want the company, but they're showing hospitality to others, not just because of their availability or their resources, but because through the years they've learned to show that Christian trait. They have that welcoming spirit. Maybe that fruitful service is edification, building others up, or evangelism. Older Christians, those that are retired from their secular jobs, typically have more time on their hands than they once did. They're no longer working from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, whatever it may have been. They have time to study with others in the evenings because they don't have to help their kids with homework or to pack their lunches or to give them a bath or to put them off to bed. They have time to go on mission trips. When Brio and I were in Thailand, one of our favorite groups that came over and helped us to teach English was an older group of couples, husband and a wife. I think there were three of them, three different couples from Minnesota that came over there. They were all retired. A couple of them had been truck drivers. They all decided to devote their time every year thereafter to doing mission work somewhere. They spent their time reaching out to the lost. They saw their retirement not as a time to relax, but as a time to do the work of God, to do even greater service in God's kingdom. And even some of those that I studied with when I was down at Sunset, many of them were already retired. They'd taken early retirement. They were in their late 50s or some in their early to mid 60s. One was a former aircraft traffic controller. Another was a prison guard. Both of them had retired. One ended up going and doing mission work in Cambodia. We went with them that first summer. The other ended up preaching throughout the United States. But both bore the fruit of service, the fruit of evangelism in their old age. To them, retirement wasn't a time of slowing down. It was a time of serving God. You see, service is the overflow of a heart that is shaped by decades of walking with God. Another very powerful fruit that older believers bear is that of the fruit of example. Service is what other Christians do. Example is what other Christians are. Their lives preach. Their faith speaks. Their consistency teaches. Their endurance inspires others. And Scripture places weight on the example of older believers. Scripture calls us to follow godly examples. In Philippians 3, verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example and take note of those who so walk." 1 Corinthians 11, 1, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." 1 Peter 2, verse 21, talks about Christ leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And older believers show us what that looks like. Older believers show us what faithfulness looks like. They show us what it means to keep going when life gets hard, to keep praying when answers don't come as quickly as we'd like, to keep worshiping when the heart is heavy, to keep trusting when the path is sometimes unclear. They show us what it looks like to praise God. Older believers show us what commitment looks like, the way that they're always there at the service whenever the doors open, the way that they're always willing to serve when whatever needs done, the way that they deal with hardship or sickness or suffering or loss, and ultimately even the way that they face death. Yes, we learn from the examples of Hebrews chapter 11 how to follow those things. Many of the people that we looked at last week are in that list. But we also learn from the examples of faith in our own lives. We learn what our lives should look like. Older believers show us what hope looks like. The way that they live their life as a stranger looking forward to that heavenly home. Younger believers are often learning to do that still. They're too attached to the things around us. We have too many connections, too many things that we want to hold on to. But older believers have lived long enough that things are no longer as pleasant as they once were. They've seen the difficulties that await us all, the emptiness of this world, and they start to long for that heavenly home. They show us how to long for heaven, how to finish the race, how to keep the faith, how to look forward to that crown of righteousness that awaits us if we're faithful, as Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I think about the effort that Mabel makes every week, every Sunday and every Wednesday to come. Not just the effort to come, but all of the effort that has to go into that, to coming on time. I think about Glendon and his willingness to get up and to lead the songs when oftentimes he probably can't hear even some of the things he's singing. I think about Edith the few times that she's been able to be with us in our Wednesday night song nights, and how although she doesn't remember a whole lot else, you'll hear her voice blending in with the singing. That speaks to the commitment of their lives. That speaks to their faithfulness. That speaks to their example for us all. Example is the visible fruit of a life rooted in God. And that brings us to the last fruit that we're going to look at this morning, that older believers can bear in their later years. And that is the fruit of encouragement and prayer. Some of the most powerful work done in the kingdom of God is done quietly. It's done behind the scenes, without the applause, without the recognition, and often by those whose bodies are weak, but faith is strong. Encouragement and prayer are fruits that rarely diminish with age. In fact, oftentimes they increase for a large period of that time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 tells us to exhort or to encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10, verse 24 tells us that we're to consider one another, to think about one another, how we're to stir one another up to love and good works. Even those with severe physical limitations can still write cards of encouragement. And I know that many of you do. Simple notes that say, "I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I missed you last Sunday. You're loved. Those may not seem to mean much to you at the time, but they can mean the world to somebody when it comes at the right time. I think of the letter that Mabel wrote to our president. I don't know whether he actually read it or not, but who knows what will one day prick someone's heart if we write it to them at the time when they are ready. One of the instructors I had down at Sunset always said that the growth of the church that he was at for many years was driven primarily by two older widows that were in that congregation, because they would send out cards of encouragement or consolation or congratulations to everyone in town in the name of the church every time there was a birthday, every time there was an anniversary, at all deaths, at all achievements. Those two women wrote a card congratulating and thanking and blessing those unions. And I'm sure that many of those got ignored. Many of them got thrown away. But some of them hit their mark, because he would tell how those two ladies set up more Bible studies than the entire congregation combined. They didn't hold the Bible studies. He and the other men of the congregation did that. But those two women played an important role, an incredible role, in the growth of that body. And even those with severe physical limitations can still do that, can still call other members of the body and let them know that they're thinking about them, that they miss them, that they're concerned about them, ask if they need anything. And even when older believers can no longer do that, when they can no longer drive or cook or visit or even write a card, they can still pray. They can devote themselves to prayer. Prayer for the body. Prayer for the work of the kingdom. Prayer for the lost. And prayer is one of the most powerful tools we have at our disposal. James 5, verse 16, talks about how the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, as Christians, we are to continue steadfastly in prayer. And yet many of us fail to do so. And it is the older believers that typically bear the fruit of prayer in many congregations more than any others. They are the ones that present the requests of the body to the Lord urgently and expectantly, placing them at the feet of our Heavenly Father, trusting that He will respond. Encouragement and prayer are some of the sweetest fruit of a life that abides in God, because they show that our heart is now in tune with our Heavenly Father, that we care about the things that He cares about. The fruit of wisdom, the fruit of spiritual leadership, the fruit of service, the fruit of example, and the fruit of encouragement and prayer. The righteous shall still bear fruit in old age. We need to be very careful not to buy into the idea that when we retire from our jobs, that we retire from the work of the Lord. That's simply not the case. Or at least it ought not to be the case. When we retire from our secular jobs, we ought to be serving the Lord all the more, now that we have more time, more resources, more experience, more opportunities to serve Him day by day. God can certainly use people of all ages to serve Him in His kingdom. He takes those that are willing, those that make themselves available, and He uses them in service to Him. But we need to learn to reflect the biblical view of old age, that it is something that we as Christians are preparing ourselves for, need to be preparing ourselves for throughout our life, that we're growing, that we're maturing into the people that we need to one day be. And as a result, younger Christians need to value and to appreciate the wisdom and the experience of older, mature Christians, and aspire to be that themselves one day. We need older Christians to continue in their roles of leadership, in a mentoring, of discipling, of prayer. One of the most beautiful things about Christianity is that our best days are always before us. No matter how old we are, there's still fruit that we can bear in the kingdom. No matter how feeble we become, our strength is still in the Lord. He's the one that enables us to do what he needs to be done. And no matter how many physical or mental limitations we may have that may hinder us in life as we age, we continue to have the hope of spending eternity in heaven, where there is no sorrow, where there is no sickness, and when there is no pain. None of us know how long we'll live or what health problems or issues we'll face, but while we still have breath in our bodies, we need to serve the Lord. We need to bear fruit in his kingdom. God is the one that determines our days, but we have the responsibility to serve him all of our days. For those of you that are a little older this morning, the challenge to you is, are you still bearing the fruit that God has given you to bear? For those of you who are younger, are you preparing yourselves to bear that fruit one day? Bearing the fruit that you can right now and growing and maturing day by day. And for those of you who aren't Christians, are you willing to give yourself to God? Are you willing to serve him in his kingdom? Because the life that you have to look forward to without him is very bleak. But with him, we have the hope of eternity in heaven. If there's anyone that we can help in any way, we give you that opportunity as together we stand and together we sing.